information system, lessons learned from early adopters. I'm Janet Fath from CDC's Immunization Information System Support Branch, and I'm very happy to be here along with our two Exhibit A and Exhibit B early adopters, I guess we can call them. I have one announcement, and that is if we don't answer all of your questions today in this session, we still have time at booth 100 in the exhibit hall where we can capture your questions, or there will be other ways that you can find information out about VTREX after the session or after the conference. So by now, I hope you've heard that VTREX is CDC's online ordering and inventory tracking system for publicly funded vaccines. VTREX EXIS is an interface between an external information system, which could be an IIS, and VTREX. VTREX, along with the EXIS interface, was launched on December 13, 2010. By now, you might also know that, you might also have heard that these guys made it look easy. On December 13, 2010, Washington and Michigan staff uploaded dozens of provider orders on the first day of launch. And as with many things, they look easy. Actually, there was a lot of planning and preparation that went on before that. Years earlier, these guys were conducting business process analysis, gap analysis. They used that information to design solutions, to devise workarounds when they needed to do that. They used that information to make sure that their grantee staff and their providers were adequately trained. Through their efforts, and through the efforts of the Washington and Michigan staff, the grantees that plan to interface with an external information system with VTREX will have a really good leg up on that transition. So as you listen to the speakers in this session, you might want to consider whether the EXIS VTREX interface would work for you, and you might also consider how to take advantage of a new funding opportunity that's just recently been announced that would have that kind of support. That funding opportunity was posted just this morning on www.grants.com, and it's got a closing date of May 9th, 2011. So with that, I wanted to introduce our first speaker, Jan Hicks-Thompson. Jan holds master's degrees in social work and in public administration from Eastern Washington University. She completed her bachelor's degree at Montana State University in Billings. She currently manages Vaccine and Immunization Registry Integration Unit of the Washington State Department of Health Immunization Program Child Profile. Washington is a universal access state, and it's got an annual combined state and federal vaccine budget of over $100 million and serves over 1.5 million children through over 1,200 provider sites. Jan provides leadership in budget, policy development, and assessment efforts related to vaccine management, emergency preparedness response, program integration of the immunization registry, and other areas of immunization practice. She co-chaired the CDC VTREX Grantee Advisory Committee, so she's got a long history with this project. She participates on several AIM work groups. She provides leadership for Washington's partnership with the CDC on developing national best practice standards for vaccine management, including the Vaccine Management Business Improvement Project, as you might already know is called VIMBIP. The pilot on that, and the economic order quantity, and several VTREX subcommittees. So I also know that Jan's got kind of a creative side here, which will you will see this in a moment when she starts her presentation. I also should have said that each speaker is going to speak for about 20 minutes, and then we'll have the rest of the time for questions. So here's Jan.
Okay, we already got off track with our slides. Sorry about that. I'm just going to start with a little video.
You're waiting for a train. A train that'll take you far away. You know where you hope this train will take you. But you can't know for sure. It's tell me why!
It's a fusion again!
Okay. So, I've been accused of being extremely optimistic, and I hope that that clip helps balance some of that as I talk through how we were able to integrate and interface VTRAX with our IIS. We've had successful... My son actually said, do you know what kind of tone that will set for your talk, Mom? I said, I know, but I have to have a counterbalance. So anyway, I'm just going to talk a little bit today about Washington's story and how we're making VTRAX work in our state. So you're waiting for VTRAX. You know where you hope this train will take you, but you don't know for sure. But it'll be okay because we'll be together. Okay, I want to start with just a bit of acknowledgement for all of the hard work that's gone on to get this system just up and running through the pilot stage. I won't read this slide, but you please take a moment to thank the folks at the CDC, the SAP team, the consultants, everyone that's been involved in making this work. It has been as intense as that video was. It has been a pretty intense experience. These are some of the partners that help make it work in Washington, and we really have, it has been a team effort. We've involved a lot of non-traditional partners, different levels of technology support than we've had from our department, and really work closely between our IIS staff and our vaccine management team. So some things you might want to know before you think about interfacing with VTRAX. The first thing, and I think this is really a critical element, you need to think of it in sort of three steps. Business first, people second, technology third. It's really important to understand what your workflows are and what your business needs are. What is it exactly that you're trying to do? Who is accomplishing those tasks now? How are they accomplishing them? Document that, because once you document it, then that gives you a starting place for looking to what has to change in order to make this work. If you're starting new with developing vaccine ordering in your immunization information system, or if you have something up and running, it's a way to do a gap analysis that will help you understand what needs to happen to make this work for you. Really very, very important to have content experts and technology experts in the same room. Create those relationships. Make time for those relationships. You both are going to have shared ownership in this business. A siloed approach won't work. Trying to bring people over to your way of thinking about something without first creating some understanding about what the business is that is at hand, and then understanding how technology can support that. If you try to do that without getting everyone together on it, I think you're going to have more challenges. Than we certainly did. But I will say, in the beginning, we had those same challenges, but we have been doing this for a while, and the approach that we took was to be sort of consistent with our meetings, getting people together, talking over the issues as we went. What about staying connected? If you have an IIS, you know that it's not a static system. You have to understand how you're going to manage through patches, new releases, and occasionally you may have to have a workaround. And you may be doing some of these things now for your IIS, and believe it or not, in just paper ordering, if you're using a paper system, manual systems for vaccine management, you're probably doing some of these things as well. It's really important to understand what your user base is. In Washington, we have a great registry, immunization information system, and we have kind of a type A and a type B personality user. We have the type A's that use the IIS to its fullest extent. They're doing reminder recall, they're capturing their doses administered, they're doing lot number management, so lot number management means they're capturing the lot number and the expiration date for vaccines, they're completely managing their inventory. Then we have some folks that are just a little more laid back. We do a lot of now it's interoperability, so we're doing HL7 connections and batch downloads of data. And some of our providers are not that intimately involved with the IIS on a regular basis. But we have to consider that when we move to VTRAX so that we can make the interface work for both of these user types. Another area that we had to pay attention to was what is our operating environment in Olympia, Washington versus what it is in Atlanta. So we had hardware, computers, laptops, those kind of things, web browsers, our security settings. We actually had a challenge. We had gone using a VTRAX for probably about 2 months, and one day none of us could log into the system. And someone had changed the security setting. They thought we were continuously streaming something that we should not have been continuously streaming. So we had to get that fixed, and it was quite a puzzle to figure out. So there are a lot of other technical terms, and I'm really not a technology person, but I just know that that's stuff that you have to attend to, and just again emphasize how important it is to have the right people in the room and make the right connections and create the right relationships in order to make this work for you. Are you ready? Well, we've talked a little bit about, and I think this has been posted, there are basically 10 kind of business rules that you have to pass before an order will flow through VTRAC seamlessly. We've chosen really to do that all in our IIS. So we meet those business rules on our side. I guess there's one that we can't meet, and it's the way that flu vaccine is being managed in the system right now. We do have to go in and manually approve those orders, but the rest of these we meet. Another area that's been of concern to folks is identifying the intention for the vaccine. I'll show you how we do that. Washington's vaccine program is a childhood or pediatric program, so I often skip that one, although I'm trying not to. We've talked a lot about the files that you would export out of your IIS and import into VTRAC, and there's documents out there for that, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. Also the input file, which is your shipping data coming back to your IIS. Well, in any relationship, you really need to start with where you are or where you were. And so where were we when we started? We've always required monthly vaccine accountability reporting from our providers. This is their inventory report. We have asked for lot number, expiration date, every month at the time they place their order. You notice the form does not have the NDC number on it, but this form, with the addition of the NDC, would have been a good transition piece, was a good transition piece for us, and with the NDC number could be a good transition piece for you, well ahead of going live with VTRAC. When we went to online ordering through our IIS, we included the provision of data, the ending inventory at the time the order was placed. We also have the full capacity for those type A users for them to manage their inventory by lot number and expiration date in the system. This is one of the workarounds that we put in place, and it's a table. It is our vaccine setting table. It's listed as a VACMAN vaccine setting table, and the reason it's that is because before VTRAC, we were importing our data into the VACMAN system. This table has actually been a real lifesaver for us because this is where we were able to pick up that NDC code. So we've always linked our ordering data to the CDC contract, which in turn links to NDC codes on the CDC side of things, and we were able to just pick up that NDC code. Also on this table, because we have those two different user types, right now we're using the 99999 defaults for expiration date and lot number. Once we're in the process of creating a second form, sorry, I missed a click there, a second screen that will allow us to capture that information for our type B users, and then we can have all that data flowing through the system. Another thing that we leveraged to go live for VTRAC, and it was sort of a workaround that we never had to use, but on the export file, it is a comma delimited file, and once you export that out of your IIS, you have the ability to manipulate those fields. So if you need to move a field around so it lines up right with VTRAC, you could do that. We were prepared to do that and did not have to because our vendor that supports our IIS was able to get us a patch very quickly and make the change in those data fields for us. So this is the screen that I was just talking about, and this is right now in our IIS, providers can reconcile their inventory, and so this is already an existing component, and it has lot number and expiration date. It has a column to capture the physical inventory, and what we want to do is add a space here to capture the NDC number or create the ongoing capacity to link through the contract number to the NDC so that is less visible, and for providers who potentially would have a challenge working with an NDC number, we may be able to use that as a workaround. That's the next step, sorry. The other area is the provider master data. And I kind of look at this from two perspectives. The first one is there's sort of a minimum set of data that needs to be updated when you place an order in VTRAC, and that's the green boxes. They're basic demographics, address, hours of business, the contacts, and the status of the order. And the red boxes are areas that are not in that the file that goes over, but they're critical pieces of business for vaccine management. The provider profile license, the full provider list, and although the provider list is captured in VTRACS, we'd like to see that it changed a little bit so that we can separate that from the regular contacts. I think Bob had said something about this to me the other day, that you have a whole list of contacts and you need to pick the one that the vaccine has to be attention to, not every provider that's in the practice. So, making it work. On the provider master data, we actually have a little bit of a hybrid model. It's not quite as fast as we'd like it to be, and it's not as pretty or slick, but it works. We actually, rather than importing every master data file with every order, we have a pretty stable provider base, and we actually have chosen to make those changes in VTRACS. So we are touching the system to do that, verifying the addresses. When there's a change, we make those updates. And that works for us, and that may not work for you and your system, but just you can be a little bit creative in thinking about how you can use what you have and what you need to change for your system to support the interface with VTRAC. And ultimately, what we would like to do, we're in the process of testing online provider enrollment for our childhood vaccine program, and that would capture all of the data elements related to that provider, including their provider profile. And again, what we would really like to see is the ability to import all of those data elements into VTRACS and have them line up in VTRACS so that they would support our way of doing business and decrease the amount of manual entry we would have to do and the different places in the system we'd have to go to look for data. Okay, now I thought this slide might get me in trouble. So Joni and Maribel, go ahead with the tomato. For us, because we had the business rules set up in our IIS and we exported a file out of our IIS and imported into VTRACS, it was relatively easy for us to import the file and have it go through the system. We didn't have to train a bunch of providers how to use a new system. We really didn't have to train our own staff on the front-end system, the IIS, because we were familiar with that already. What we had to learn is how do we manage that order once it comes out of the IIS and goes into VTRACS. For online ordering, we really tried to mimic our existing business processes, and that, I'm talking, 3.5 years ago when we first went to that. I've already mentioned the vaccine setting table that we use to support this, and then the import-export feature in VTRACS is very simple to deploy. It has a really nice feature that allows you to test your import, identify errors, and before you actually execute, that's a new term I've learned with VTRACS, and make it real, so you have a chance to look at the data before you're committed with it. So shipping data, so that's file that's coming in. We're continuing to use the McKesson shipping file because of the timeliness of the arrival of that file. We have used that historically to import into our IIS so that providers could receive their inventory and have those pesky lot numbers and expiration dates auto-populated in the system. Our IIS supports both manual receiving into the system as well as an automated feature so that if we had a type B personality user that wasn't receiving their inventory, we have the option of populating their inventory. And to me, that really just completes the loop on inventory so that once you have that information in there, then you can leverage it to do your report out for the inventory that's required at the time of order for the provider. And it wouldn't be me up here talking if I didn't spend at least a couple minutes talking about the spin plan. It has been a little challenging to learn the new ins and outs of the system, and I'm really thankful that the folks at the CDC have been very supportive in working with me on this and the other pilot states too, I'm assuming. They've actually added some new features to the system already to support it. One is this page, which may, I'm not even sure how well you folks can see it, but it basically is a total budget by fund source, what you have allocated in your brand, what's in your spin plan, and what your balance is, which was very good. It wasn't in there in the beginning, but it's there now. And the second thing is a page that at the bottom of each, in your spin plan, if you click on an antigen, you scroll to the bottom, you can see your totals to date for the month by fund source. Two really good tools to help manage your spin plan. I was just talking to the team yesterday, and there's going to be a third feature that I'm pretty excited about
as well, and that is the ability to see your quarterly budget. So you would see the four quarters of the year displayed. You could see where you're at with each quarter so you understand what your balance is. And that will help making sure you don't run up against having orders rejected and then having to kind of struggle and move quickly to get your spin plan updated to get your orders flowing again. So really great, and I'll really appreciate the work of that team to support that. So where do we go from here? Well, there are some things that are on our wish list. I've already talked a little bit. I don't know if I said this, but we haven't. The varicella vaccine or frozen vaccines are not available in the McKesson shipping file. So we haven't been able to bring that data over automatically into the IIS. And we're really hoping that someday in the future that would be a feature that would be added. I've already mentioned the idea of having those provider marketing attributes or all of the provider master data elements move over into the system from the IIS. One of the areas that there's a lot of work being done and continues to need to be done is the area of reporting and the access to data to support our business needs, our daily business needs related to vaccine management. I think I wrote before I had all these other great screens in the spin plan, but I think probably still just making sure that we have the access that we need to the spin plan and the visibility we need. Janet announced the FOA. We're all aware of that draft, so thanks to the CDC for answering this question before it even came out of my mouth about additional funding and support for this ongoing interface work. I think really important to consider that there are a lot of different grantees that have a lot of different IIS systems, how we use them, how providers use them, and just make sure that that's part of the ongoing planning and work that goes into VTRACS now and in the future. Another thing that I think is going to be really important, as we've had a lot of talks this week about moving to the next age of accountability for vaccine management, and I certainly understand that you can't have a $4 billion budget without having a lot of accountability. And I think that it's going to be really important that we have a system that truly supports that in a way that each grantee can use in a practical fashion prior to adding additional requirements related to that. And this is my thank you slide. First, thanks to my great team in Washington. They really are little rocks of Gibraltar. They make it happen. It has been a pretty intense experience for all of us working very hard to get this off the ground. All of the pilot sites now and those that came before us, Massachusetts and California, a lot of hard work has gone into this, as I've said. And of course, I have to say thanks to my family because they make it possible for me to do what I do. And they're great at forgiving me when I take time from them to devote to the work of this project. And it wouldn't be worth much if I didn't have them, so thank you.